I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the Pain Game YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe if you haven't already. We're covering a few different stories today. We're going to start off with Francis Ngannou. Now, I was having a chat with a mate of mine who knows Francis and his team. That's how I got the interview with Dewey Cooper, the coach of Francis. And he was asking us, what should Francis do next in your opinion? And initially, my thoughts were, go back to MMA. You know, you tried boxing. It didn't work. And a lot of people are talking about him as if he's now the worst boxer ever, which it feels very unfair. The guy still went 10 rounds with Tyson Fury, even if it wasn't the best Fury ever. That still happened. We can't take that away from Francis, and it's such a shame to have a guy who was built up so much just thrown in the fucking garbage after getting knocked out by Anthony Joshua, which a lot of fighters have had that happen to them. And then I started thinking about, what would I do if I was Francis? And you've got to assume his goal is to make the most amount of money possible. He's in his late 30s. He wasted a lot of time in the UFC not getting paid what he was worth, and now he has a chance to do that. And ultimately, the chance of doing that is at its highest in boxing. So as rough as that was for him, if I was him and I wanted to make that big mega money, I'd roll the dice one more time in a boxing ring, and I would do it against Deontay Wilder. Now, I know that is going to sound absolutely mental, because if you're struggling with, you know, rangy power punchers in Anthony Joshua, you're probably not going to fare too well, in theory, against Deontay Wilder. However, Deontay Wilder's weaknesses are more exposable than Anthony Joshua, by a mile, in fact. I mean, Wilder's coming off the back of a loss himself, and if he wants to ever get the big money fights, he needs to rebuild also. And he didn't have a good performance against Parker. And then you look at what he struggled with against Tyson Fury specifically. It was a big, strong guy who got up close, wrestled him, roughed him up on the inside, and beat him up. And styles do make fights. And I'm not saying that Francis wouldn't get caught by Wilder, but the path to victory is possible against Wilder. He is stronger than Tyson Fury, who manhandled Wilder in the clinch, and he hits harder than Tyson Fury. And if by some chance Francis won that fight, well, for a start, he's right back in the fucking mix all of a sudden. But especially if what I expect to happen does happen, and Oleksandr Usyk schools Tyson Fury, that then gives him the rematch against Tyson Fury. And then instead of making, I don't know, 5 to 10 million fighting MMA, you're now back in the 10 to 20 million in boxing immediately. And he hasn't got long left, Francis. Has he got anything left to prove in MMA? You've already been the heavyweight champion of the UFC, which is the premier division in MMA. Proved it all. I'd roll the dice. All right, he might get knocked out, but at least he's going to get paid very well for it. And if he does manage to pull off an upset against Wilder, there's a mega payday with Tyson Fury waiting. Because Fury's going to get beaten off AJ or Usyk, in my opinion. One of the two is beating him. And if I was in Francis's shoes, I would go and train with Anthony Joshua and Ben Davison. There was a lot of camaraderie and mutual respect there afterwards. And obviously, AJ is leagues ahead of Francis in terms of boxing knowledge, but two big lads who like each other, they can train together. It's very hard finding sparring partners who are as big and strong as these two. With Ben Davison coaching Francis, he is extremely analytical, Ben. He does these sheets of data for his fighters where he can break down every opponent and understand exactly how you beat them. And they knew Francis had no chance because they'd studied his patterns over and over and over again. They knew exactly how to beat him, which is why it unraveled so quickly. But they can then help Francis patch those holes. I'm not saying I believe Francis is good enough to become a world champion or anything like that, because it's clear now the hours he hasn't been able to put in are always going to matter against an Anthony Joshua, against an Oleksandr Usyk. And hey, if he can learn enough to beat what we've all said is not a great boxer in Deontay Wilder, who is a one-trick pony, then all of a sudden that Fury fight is there. Unless Fury beats Usyk, and I'm proven wrong, in fair play. And Deontay Wilder might go out there and fucking drop him and smash him. But at 37 years old, being the physical specimen Francis is, I'd roll the fucking dice and try and cash in another 20 million before you call it a day. What do you got to lose? You go back to MMA and get paid less money, you might get knocked out in that as well. If you're going to play with your brain cells, you might as well get paid well for it. And if Fury does lose the Usyk fight, Ngannou versus Fury 2 would be massive. And a lot of the time in boxing, you know, you're lose, you're terrible, you're rubbish, you're forgotten about. But let's not kid ourselves. Francis did really well in that first fight, and it's not fair to just completely act like that never happened because he got chinned by AJ. AJ is a great fighter in this generation, clearly. Only lost to two men, and one of those he's avenged, and the other one's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. So to lose to AJ, there's no shame in that. So that's the future of Francis Ngannou. Now onto the future of Conor McGregor, who was out promoting his new movie. And look, I'm sure you've all seen the clip of him in this interview. It's gone viral, so we'll watch it.
Hi, Conor. I'm Claire Gallagher with the Daily Texan. What can you tell us about your...
Obviously, at the beginning of this video, he touches himself several times on the face over and over again. His lips are going, mouth's going. Watch it one more time.
I'm Claire Gallagher with the Daily Texan. What can you tell us about your acting debut? Obviously, it's your first experience.
Hard work, but you know, we got it done. It's in the bank for life. Yeah. You know, you put something in the bank, something, maybe it's not going to be there for life. You might spend it. This baby is in there for life, and I'm ecstatic about that.
He's clearly on the gear, right? We all know it. And the problem with Conor is he's got unlimited money and he can buy the best of it and the most of it. And who's going to tell him to not do loads of it? I don't imagine anyone ever tells this man what to do, ever. And unfortunately, that's a problem because you need people to check you in life. And clearly, he doesn't have enough of those people around him. And maybe there's people who want to be that person. He comes across as a bit of a pig-headed bastard sometimes who wouldn't have it. Can anyone stop him? Can he even be helped? We seen a while ago when I did my first video about his blatant drug use, he seemed to clean his act up a bit for a while. So it is sad to see this because as much as he gave me a load of shit at the time, I don't care about that. Like, for a start, I fucking destroyed him in my reply video. But equally, it's a bit of bullshit, isn't it, on the internet? Like, I don't give a shit. I want this guy to have a good life. He's given us good memories. He's been a superstar in MMA. I don't hold any real grudge against the guy. I want him to not end up a sad story in MMA. And right now, when you look at him like this, he looks like fucking Paul Gascoigne. He's going down that road. And it's not even at the end of his career. Like, I remember when Ricky Hatton struggled with substance abuse from post being knocked out by Manny Pacquiao. And it's very hard when you've been the megastar, the superstar, everyone loves you, getting in front of the world and showing off what a bad motherfucker you are, to then just sitting in the house, sipping a cup of tea with your feet up. It's a hell of a come down, I'm sure it is. But this is mid-career, officially, if the UFC ought to be believed and he's actually going to fight again, even though that doesn't seem like it's on the horizon anytime soon. I can't help but feel like I'm looking at a sad story down the road. And I hope I'm wrong. I really fucking do. When I look at this guy spending habits and the way he lives his life, and he's a very indulgent person, and there is no reason to calm that down. Like, normal guys, even dudes who are like, you know, these fucking London office boffins who go fucking drinking on a Friday night after they finish work and they blow a load of shit up their nose, right? They have a reason to not do too much. There's a certain amount of money. There's no amount of money this guy has to keep within. Where the fuck does this end? And that's where the Scarface story goes too far, right? I mean, it went too far when he started shooting everyone, but that also puts a problem. Partly, I'm wondering, and not to blame the UFC, because it's not the UFC's, you know, responsibility to make sure Conor McGregor doesn't do drugs.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But if he had a fight, would he be doing this? Because it seems to me that there is clearly a negotiation struggle going on where Conor McGregor has two fights left on his contract. He's all but clarified that in an Instagram post. I wouldn't know. I'm blocked, but I've seen this secondhand. And then he wants to fight Manny Pacquiao in Saudi Arabia and get that big-ass Saudi check that he's probably craving, because the amount of money they would pay him is 10 times what the UFC would pay him. And the Saudis would love a McGregor night in Saudi Arabia. But what the UFC do is they strangle you and hold you down and don't give you your remaining fights unless you're a champion like Francis Ngannou was, because then they had to let him fight because he was the champ and they just had to hope he lost. But with McGregor, you can slow roll him and watch as the years dwindle away and his physical prime is just fucked off into the distance until he signs up, because the UFC are going to leverage that when they're going for new network deals to get TV money, and by saying, we've got Conor McGregor fighting. So they're going to hold him as long as they can and not let him out of this deal. So he's stuck in fucking limbo and probably going insane in the process. It was the 4th of February when Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler was announced in 2023. Not this year, last year. And in that time, they did the Ultimate Fighter TV show. No one gives a fuck about that show anymore, but they did it. And the idea was they'll do the TV show last year, and the two coaches, as has often happened, will fight at the end. Bearing in mind, that was 2 years after he broke his leg. So the leg had been fucking healed and then some. We're now 3 years down the road and nothing. And Michael Chandler's out here going on WWE, Conor McGregor, mate, who are you fucking calling out? He's the biggest mug in all of this, by the way, Michael Chandler, because he's probably going to fight McGregor and he'll get a bit more money than maybe he would have gotten, but I doubt they'll give him a whole new contract. He'll get good money, but he'll not be getting anything like what McGregor's getting. And yet this man is just sat there on the sidelines not fighting because he's been promised this fight while the UFC strangle McGregor until he wilts and signs a deal, and they're getting nowhere. And by the time the fight does happen, how many people are even going to give a fuck? Like, McGregor's star power is still there, but it ain't half what it was. You've got to remind people how great you are. McGregor's last win was 2019 against Donald Cerrone, who every other fuck has beaten in the process. I think that's also part of the reason why McGregor is turning to drugs, because he was king of the fucking world. Let's not kid ourselves. He was the biggest show in town in fighting. No one came close. There was no one as exciting out of the ring or in the cage. And he's clearly chasing that buzz, because if he was trying to de-stress and mellow out, it wouldn't be that he would be going for, right? He is wanting energy, excitement, and a buzz in his life, because there isn't any anymore. There's only so many watches and boats and cars. I had a bit of money once upon a time. I did all that. It gets boring really quick. Everything looks the same. Everything becomes the same. And for someone like that, nothing can come close to being on top of the cage with your arms in the air, having just knocked another man out. Which is why he's doing this, because it's the only thing he can fucking resort to. I actually feel sorry for McGregor, because like, he's achieved a lot in his life, and the fact that he feels like he needs to do this, it is fucking sad. And when you look at what he did for the UFC, how he catapulted them from a sport like people like me would watch to then all of a sudden everyone knows about him and everyone watches him. He did so much for that company, and they are treating him like shit. And when you look into what he was paid for all of his fights, the amount of money he's been robbed of from the UFC, not only the amount of value he added onto the company, it's a disgrace. And when you seen him, when he originally went to the Saudi event, when he was talking about fighting Manny Pacquiao, and he was like, the way I've been treated, no one's ever been treated this badly in the history of the sport. He's actually fucking right. People think because he got a bigger piece of the pie than other UFC fighters, he's been treated well. No, he more than earned that. He might be the most robbed fighter since Iron Mike Tyson was robbed by Don King all those years. That's how bad it is. Luckily, he made some smart investments and set up the old whiskey and all of that, but still, it's not the same as when you're getting in the octagon. And look, I just hope the bloke can get clean and someone can get him away from this shite, because long term, when you've got that much money, it's a dangerous game to be playing. I wonder how he feels when he sees himself going viral for that, because he used to go viral for all the right reasons, and now it can't make him feel good. Maybe that's why he lashed out at me when I pointed it out. Fair fucks to a degree, like, I understand, but equally, you're doing this to yourself. And it's one thing when, as men, a lot of men, they have like vices where they like sit and fucking feel bad about things and have a drink or whatever and get a bit, you know, smashed. But it's another thing when you're going out to public events and you're being captured like this. That means you're not in control, in my opinion. So I hope you can get some form of control, and ultimately you need to start going to meetings, mate. That's actually the truth. And if this counts for anyone out there, like, that sort of shit actually does save people's lives. So I really hope you can turn it around. In other news, Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz are going to be fighting again, but not in the UFC octagon, in a boxing ring on some fan meo thing, like what Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul did. I think they used that sort of pay-per-view model where you could just buy online. I mean, this has got car crash written all over it, to be honest. I just don't see the interest being there enough. The fact is, Nate Diaz got smashed by Masvidal the last time they fought, so it wasn't competitive. All right, Nate Diaz was alive and, you know, still doing the Nate Diaz thing of trying to sustain himself in there. He got the shit beaten out of him, though. His face was a car wreck. So the need for a rematch isn't even there. For a start, looking at Masvidal's record since he last fought Nate Diaz, he lost to Usman, then he got knocked out by Usman, he got wrestled all over by Covington, and then in the Gilbert Burns fight, he just looked slow. He didn't look the usual Masvidal. He didn't have that zip in his punches that he had against Nate Diaz. And this is the thing, when you're in your late 30s, like 2-3 years is massive. Things change quickly. You get old, especially when you rely on speed a bit, which Masvidal does a little bit. And Nate Diaz has only had two fights since then. He got beat off Leon Edwards and he beat Tony Ferguson. Oh, and he actually got beat off Jake Paul. I forgot that even happened, that boxing match. And he didn't look good in that boxing match. I wasn't watching Nate Diaz box that night thinking, whoa, I can't wait to watch you box again. No fucking way. He looked average. And if anything, it just became a bit of a like, has Jake Paul peaked here? It was more about Jake and where his level was. Because I thought after watching Masvidal piece this guy up, that Jake Paul would have gone through him. So I'll give Nate Diaz something. He's still got that tough durability. He's still got that. And maybe that'll help him win this fight. But the problem is, will anyone give a fuck? Look, I hope they get their money, but I just think that the interest in this fight is severely miscalculated on their part, and it's going to be a humbling experience when they look at those pay-per-view numbers and realize no one fucking gave a shit. And I tell you one thing, I used to really like Jorge Masvidal, right? I don't anymore. The way he's gone on with Chael Sonnen, who has always spoke well about him, has always been a supporter of him. Yeah, it's Chael says the odd little thing that might pay people off, but like the way George Masvidal is going after Chael Sonnen right now, it's just downright out of order and disrespectful. Like, I'd put money on Chael to beat him in a fucking MMA fight. I'd actually be interested in seeing and Chael just stomp him, because you don't fucking pick on Uncle Chael. That's my guy. There's very few UFC fighters who I would back, you know, against Chael if it came down to who I think is a better dude. If any, Chael Sonnen is a stand-up man. People like him and Michael Bisping, these guys are the ones that they're like uncles of the business, man. You don't fucking go after them. And like Chael said on one of his recent videos, I think he said, like, I fought God knows how many world champions. I think he beat like 8 out of 12 or something like that. And Jorge has never beaten a world champion. You can't talk to me. And I'm the division above you. I'm middleweight. That's really put me off Jorge Masvidal, to be honest with you. I used to think he was like a cool guy, but he's just got this chip on his shoulder, and I get that that's a good thing for a fighter sometimes, and maybe it's just always trying to get a fight with Chael, but like, he's being a bell end. And in terms of their records, Masvidal's got 35 wins and 17 losses, and Nate Diaz has got 21 wins and 13 losses. And I know that these guys aren't judged by their losses, they're those type of fighters, right? But still, they're not elite MMA guys, really. They're good MMA fighters who are well over the hill, and we don't need to see them box anyone. I'd maybe watch Jorge box Jake Paul, just because Jorge fucked Nate Diaz up in the boxing department when they fought, and Jake struggled a bit with Nate. Maybe if this fight is out the way, maybe they might chuck Jorge in there with Jake Paul, but like, I don't even need to see this fight, just give us that one. Do you know what I mean? It's a waste of my time. But I've got nothing against them aside from the Chael Sonnen thing. I hope they make money, but I won't be that bothered. So that's all for today. If you've enjoyed this video, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to the Pain Game YouTube channel. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.